Hello, I am V. Pangan, your host for the Rethink Impact, the podcast. It's day four of the ECREA conference, and so far all sessions happening at four different locations at Aarhus University are going well. Day four has been pretty busy with a lot of great presentations, sparking some very interesting conversations, and our colleagues Nariman and Martina had the opportunity to assist with the streaming of the keynote session this morning with Gary Young from the University of Manchester, the academic who's made the shift from mainstream journalism to academia, researching impact on a philosophical and practical level. From discussions on his documentary that flips the script on documenting racial issues to discussions about his own research, the former Guardian journalist just gave a great keynote. And now we are joined by one of the key people behind the conference, a very important part of the team, Christoph Reitsch, the chair of the local organizing committee of the ECREA 2022. Welcome, Christoph, to our podcast. How are you going?
How are you doing? Great. Thank you very much.
But first, how has it been to be leading Team ECREA from day one? I mean, 1,400 presenters, a lot of volunteers, lockdowns and whatnot.
How yeah. It? It's actually, I say that to many people around here, on Monday, I was still planning a conference and most of the things were happening in meetings and emails and large Excel sheets. From Tuesday, when we started building up the conference, it was just all going on Messenger, because so many people needed to be coordinated. And we fortunately have a very good team that creates its own units. And by Thursday, all these units were doing their own thinking, their rethinking, and especially their doing. So it was actually a very rewarding experience that I couldn't have anticipated that it would turn out that well. And planning something is definitely something else than doing it. But I've been running around between all the locations, meeting so many colleagues, and I'm very, very happy about the outcome now.
Man, I'm happy too. I've been here since day one, maybe day zero and the days before that. And I could see that it's really, really successful. And how about the volunteers? Can you tell me? Because we have an interesting demographic. We have like young people and we see some grandmas and grandpas. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, that's a very special program in Aarhus called the Rethinkers. So these are citizens who want to help with big events. And that goes back to when Aarhus was cultural capital of Europe in 2017. They just formed as a group. And then now there are more than 1,600 people that you can ask, like whoever wants to join, and they can sign up for events where volunteer support is needed.
Well, I did not know that. And there are a lot of them in here in the South Building and in different locations, right?
Exactly. And they are helping us with both the catering, but also welcoming people and telling them what to do in the city. And the largest group is, of course, the student volunteers that our volunteer coordinator, Markus, has actually been recruiting across all the programs. So he's been touring the last weeks to get people on board. And the support was actually really great from many people who just have never been to an academic conference, of course. And now they are seeing people that maybe whose works they read in person in front of them, and they can, you know, also shape the conference. That was something that was very important for us, that the volunteer students get something out of it for themselves. Both the Mundus students who are doing this podcast then and also assisting with the room sessions, but also the younger students who may just have read someone's name somewhere on a syllabus. Now this person is maybe standing in front of them and they can also attend the sessions. So it's really an audience that normally at an academic conference does not come there.
Yeah, and that's really, really interesting for me as a Mundusian who's been here for only 2 months. And that brings me to what we're doing right now. We are in the podcast van. Could you tell me how you came about this concept for a podcast van? Like, how did this happen? Who made this happen?
This is a very typical Aarhus story, I would say, because Aarhus is always, it's small enough, but also big enough. So there is enough diversity in the city and there's still short distances. Happened one time, I walked, had a meeting with the head of the public library, Dokken, about what they could do for us and how we could collaborate. We are thinking about an impact tour there. And they were very open. They are a public space that is, you know, accessible to everyone. And they run over 2,000 events a year. So they are
That's a lot of events. I don't know how they can manage.
They have lots of different teams to do that. And in that conversation, they said, oh, by the way, we have this collaboration with Jyllands Posten, the newspaper, which is called a podcast van. We could put it up on your campus and then someone could do a podcast there. And I said, wow, that's exactly the kind of resource that would make such a difference, because then the academic discussion can also go into other channels and not just stay within the session rooms, right?
That's true.
For that, you need someone who can communicate complicated issues to a broader audience. And that's when I thought, okay, this could be something for the Mundus Group to take over, having all these international backgrounds and all different kinds of levels of experience that, they could just use it. And it's been very successful. Like you told me, it's almost 50.
Yes, 50.
Podcast I think recordings that have taken
getting
place.
60 at this point.
60, yeah, okay.
For about 4 days. I mean, after 4 days, what are your personal key takeaways from this podcast experience?
I think the way people have accepted this and have taken made use of this resource is really showing that apart from the academic standard journals and books and articles, we also need to think about how we talk about our research to the broader audience. There's really a need, if you want to generate impact from your research, you need to think about different modalities of communicating to other audiences.
And am I right? This is the first time that ECRIA is doing this entire podcast idea.
Yeah.
Like, was ECRIA, like the body, accepting of this idea? Did they have hesitations or were they excited? Can you tell me more about that?
That's one of the nice things when you do an ECRIA conference. As a local host, you have a lot of influence over what goes on around the conference. The core program of the conference is always the same. It's organized by the networks and the sections and the temporary working groups. So there is a certain number of sessions and keynotes and special sessions and so on. But you can shape the conference experience by adding features such as a podcast van or a children's corner that we've had the first time now. And ECRIA is basically leaving that to the hosts. If they have the resources, and we did, then they can do that.
Yeah, and from day one, we have interviewed like a lot of researchers and a lot of academics who spoke about different topics in communication and media. Have some of these interviewers reached out to you on their experience here in the podcast van, and what did they say?
I've talked to a couple of colleagues and they actually found it very refreshing also to be interviewed from someone who's not knowledgeable about, let's say, their specific field. And they also found it challenging at times to answer questions in a unacademic or less academic way, but also think about some implications of their research for the wider society. I mean, we are academics, so we think about these implications from day one. But being confronted with someone who interviews you is definitely a different situation. So people really took up that challenge and they liked it. Also not knowing who is necessarily in front of you.
And do you think this is something like Aarhus University or like ECRIA would want to do again, like in the next conference?
I hope that after this conference, which is one of the biggest conferences ever to be held in Aarhus University, and also the biggest ECRIA ever, that these forms will take more place and will have their own place in future ECRIA conferences. But again, that's up to the next local host to decide what kind of thing they want. But I think we've already rethought the conference itself with many of the features that we introduced.
We're thinking in past tense now. Yeah, we rethought our impact. Yeah,
we did something more than just giving the conference a theme, which is kind of a general theme and no one really has to draw on it. I think it was a conscious decision from us to say, well, if this is the theme, we also need to rethink what is a conference and why do people come here and what do they get out of it and so on.
Yeah, and I feel like I've attended many conferences and I volunteered in many conferences before in the Philippines, in Korea, and in many places in the Philippines. And this is something revolutionary for me. We've never had this kind of like setup, like talking about researchers in a less academic, more conversational way. And I mean, this is just me, but I learned a lot personally as a journalist and as a student, which brings me, this might sound self-promotion, but I am a Mundusian. And I should ask this, volunteers from my cohort ran the podcast van for 4 days. How is it like to be working with your students outside the classroom?
I really like how you have taken up this podcast and also created your own schedules and also become enthusiastic about the idea. For me, the biggest change is that all of a sudden we had a WhatsApp group in which I could follow your discussions and also react to you immediately. And some colleagues said, oh, but never have WhatsApp groups or messenger groups with your students because it can get easily out of hand. There is a certain difference between being the professor or being the student. But I thought, why is that? Like, why do we have to draw that boundary? We are in a learning community together, and there are some roles that need to be shifted like some people adopt roles, like you adopted the role of the coordinator and some people became producers, and all of that is also education and not just reading texts and writing your assignments and all of these things. Like learning in a different way, I think, is really beneficial to the program, especially since most of you want to work as journalists in the future, not necessarily as journalism researchers.
And when you were thinking about this project, like, did you have like a specific objective in mind? Like, what did you want us Mundusians to learn from the experience? Because for me, I just wanted to be a room assistant from day one, and now I ended up being the coordinator overall of the both room assisting and the podcast band. So what was the particular objective or like the idea behind it?
I had two ideas. So one is really offering researchers a channel to talk about their research in a different way. That is not the usual 15-minute, 10 slides presentation format or the academic article. But I also wanted the students to understand that all the research that you read or get confronted with in your studies is done by someone. And there are people who have specific reasons why they engage in this research and who they are and where they come from. It's much easier to understand when you have that person in front of you or you can see their presentation at some point. That also lets you interrogate them in a different way than if you just have to first read through the dense academic prose and try to understand and make a map for yourself. But if you understand why people collaborate with each other, what subjects are of interest to them, why they adopt certain methods, you can also see yourself in that role much better, because you will have to make such choices for your own research as well.
Exactly. Like being the coordinator, I gave interviewers like the abstracts of the researchers, and they had to read those abstracts sometimes in like a short span of time, like 1 minute, 2 minutes, and look up the researchers. And that was like a huge learning experience for them and for me as well, because we learned how to manage our time and like digest a lot of information in such a short time as well. So I'd like to thank you for letting us experience that. And I think in closing, like, as our professor, did we pass the challenge? Like, if this were a course, what would be our grade on a 7-point scale?
You passed the challenge way more than ever expected.
Really?
By
so
me.
Is it a 10 or a 7?
No, that's a 15, which does 15 not exist on the scale. So 12 is the maximum in Denmark, but you you rocked it. I love to see your posts and the pictures, and I could see a lot of excitement. And why shouldn't academic education also be exciting in that way?
Right, that's what I was thinking. But again, I think one of the questions that we get from the interview is that, like, where can we download the podcast? How do we get access to the podcast? And I've been telling them, I think they're going to be available on the ECRIO website. But can you clarify, or can you give more information about this?
Here's something that I learned from you, is that once you have a recording like this, to make it into an attractive and technically sound production, it needs post-production. And that is something we cannot offer on the fly. Therefore, I said, let's create an archive of these podcasts and put them on our conference website, which will stay active after the conference for a while. And, you know, create some legacy from the conference beyond the conference, so that once again, people are reminded, hey, now my podcast that I did at ECRIO in Aarhus, now it's online and I can talk about that again. So it extends the conference a little bit. But of course, anyone is also free to just agree with the student that interviewed them where to put it. If they have their own website or blog, or anyone involved in the podcast should keep their creative rights to it. And then they can also determine that by themselves where they want to publish it.
Yeah, we had guests who came here specifically with the intent of submitting the podcast to Journalistica, for example, or like a group of researchers who are doing a podcast on their own, like submitting or uploading this on Mediapolis, and some researchers on podcasting as well who will upload their podcasts on their own like platforms. What can you say about that? That's exciting for me.
Yeah,
like, so, because our classmates are going to be published, uploaded as like an official podcast.
Yeah, they are published not just around the ECRIO conference, but on these different platforms. So we are extending the idea of the podcast, because every time you upload it somewhere, whether it's Journalistica or Mediapolis or somewhere, you will have to mention that it was recorded during the ECRIO. So it also extends the life of the conference to other platforms. And so there used to be something called student radio, which in many countries is actually often an alternative force and has also been political force. And so, okay, now we have a podcast band that is becoming a rhizomatic or networked into other kinds of communications for both from the researchers but also the producers. So this is how dissemination has a very productive effect.
Yeah, thank you. And anything that you'd like to say, what's the future of the podcast band?
For now?
For Ekria or for now?
I hope, well, in Aarhus, I hope it's a resource that is more often used, especially in academic contexts. I think there is a real potential for this. Also, the fact that it is made in Aarhus, it's a tiny company. I think they're called Tiny Office. They build these tiny offices on trailers for whatever purpose. So it's also a good advertisement for them to show what you can do on a rather small space. You know, it's a tiny studio here. But I think because it's so mobile and it's offered through a public library, many more people, when they have events, they should make use of it to just communicate what they are doing and reach audiences beyond Aarhus.
Okay, great. And we have a total of 26 Mandutians out of the 90 plus in the cohort who volunteered for Ekria as room assistants and part of the podcast van. And we, the volunteers, and also a lot of our classmates who weren't here, said that we want to do it again. We want to do it as well. So how do we get to do it as students? Can we do it again? So there's a question. I was like, I don't know the answer. So what's your answer for us?
Well, since we know the people from Dokken, I think it will be possible to find new opportunities. And when they use it again at somewhere else, maybe if there's an event host who doesn't really know about podcasting, but they want to offer it as a resource, but then they need a team to do it, right? Who knows all this technology and so on. So maybe then you can come back in.
Yes, that is very great. So thank you very much, Christoph. And this has been a great experience for me. And I hope for everyone who has been a part of the podcast, man. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you very much to the whole group. It's been tremendous what you have done in these 4 days.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.